Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is approximately the year 1200 A.D. A man is in a tavern having a very good time, drinking heavily. And suddenly he gets a message written in runes on a piece of wood. The message is very clear. Gita says that you should go home. How he responds to this is unknown, but he does write a message in return that I'm told by the author, Eleanor Barraclough, doesn't make any sense. However, we forgive him for being inebriated. Thus, we're into the world that Eleanor takes on in her new book, Embers of the Hands, Hidden Histories of the Viking Age. You just heard one. Who's Gita? And how much trouble is he in? Eleanor, your book is wonderful. Congratulations. Your reading of your book is even more wonderful. I felt when you read about Gita and her beloved, you were having an especially good time. What is that he was reading, the rune carvings, and how do you interpret them? Because they're symbols. They're like pictures. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for your kind words. This is one of my favorite bits of the book. It's fabulous. And we've all, well, I suspect that most of us have either received text messages saying, yeah, where are you? When are you coming home? Or tried to send ones back. And these runes, I mean, we're familiar with the form. They're these spiky letters. And they had to be spiky because they were carved for the most part into hard surfaces like stone, in this case wood, sometimes bone, sometimes human bone even. There's one episode where I talk about a skull, a piece of human skull that's been carved with runes from Denmark. But these ones are, yeah, if we think of them, sometimes they feel quite familiar. There are letter forms that look almost like the Latin alphabet. And this isn't necessarily a coincidence, because one possibility is that these runes actually originated in the time of the Roman Empire, where even though Scandinavia wasn't part of that empire, there was still lots of cultural contact and people were traveling south and being part of that empire. And by the time you get to Gita in around 1200, and here we're in Norway, we're in Denmark, here we're in Norway in Bergen, and down by the waterfront, we have lots of these runic messages being carved, often on little pieces of wood. And these slivers of wood, they're not meant to be things that lots of people would see. They're private messages. And that's the context in which Gita's writing. And as you say, we can't tell for sure, but it looks quite likely that she's basically telling her husband, who's down in the tavern getting drunk in the pub, to come home. So it's her side is actually quite easy to read. These rune forms are quite precise. And if we transliterate them into sort of Old Norse, you know, in a way that I can then read out more easily, it's Gia Sayer at du kak heim. So Gira says that you should go home. But yes, the other side where perhaps he's tried to carve his own response is completely unintelligible. It's just a series of lines. I'd love to think that actually, from his point of view, he thought he was coming up with something really clever, and he thought, yeah, this will be fine. This will buy me another pint. But yeah, we'll never know.
The methodology is now evident. How Eleanor Barraclough has put this book together. She needs an object. And the object has to be found in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's sticking up in a field. Oftentimes it's out of a grave that people discovered when they were digging a road. Sometimes it's at the bottom of a pit. These are pieces left over from a lifestyle and a time that is not easily available, except for we've moved it into myth and movie characters. But this book talks about the real lives of the people who sometimes are called Vikings. They're also from Scandinavia. They're also called the rowers. They're called many names at the time. They weren't divided up into nations. Eleanor is an historian, and therefore she needs to work with evidence. She's also based at Spa University, and she presents lecturing material here. But the magic of these objects is everything to me. And when I saw how you were working, Eleanor, I thought, this is a very careful way of putting history in context. Is that the way the Vikings in general are approached, because we have these objects? It's like you pick them up and you start to say, now, what does this mean? Is that how it works for you?
It is how it works for me now. But my background is I started with Old Norse language and literature. That was what I did my PhD in, for example. So I was looking at that relationship between the stories that the Norse told about themselves and about the world and how that fits into the history. But when I was doing that, the little bits and pieces that I just kept, you know, casting my eye onto, the ones you can just see on the edge of your vision, your peripheral vision, were these extraordinary, as you say, sort of everyday objects. And because the Norse cultural sphere is so vast, they start in Scandinavia, but the Viking Age is partly characterized by the spread of this diaspora all the way, you know, certainly to kind of up to Arctic Scandinavia, but then across the North Atlantic. They settle Greenland. They end up on the edge of the North American continent. Then east, they go down the Eurasian waterways and steppes to Byzantium, even the Islamic Caliphate. And so that's a really big story on a really big stage. And it's quite hard to find the individuals within those stories. And I think that's why I just kept coming back to the little bits and pieces, that sort of the ephemera. And that's where the title comes from. That's where Embers of the Hands comes from. It's a kenning, which is a sort of Old Norse sort of poetic device. You know, they used it to describe one thing by dressing it up in flowery language and referring to something else. And so Embers of the Hands originally means gold. But I wanted to think of something that was precious in a different way, something that's sort of personal and sort of in a way much more ordinary. And those were the bits I connected to, because they're much more human in a way.
Let's do some timeline, Eleanor, to fix the Viking Age, because 1200 is a little beyond an ordinary assumption of the age of Vikings. I have 750 to 1100, and in 793 we have the first instance. This is a smashing instance, the raid at Lindisfarne. What was Lindisfarne, and what did the raid, what was driving the raid?
So Lindisfarne is the first big raid we know about. There might have been others. There seems to have been some sort of altercation down on the south coast of England a couple of years earlier, also involving three boats of the Danes, but it's not a raid and it's not attacking a monastery. And this is why Lindisfarne is so shocking, because Lindisfarne is also known as Holy Island even today, and it's a tidal island, so you can get across on the causeway when the tide is low. It's off the coast of Northumberland in northeast England. And sort of going back to, you know, sort of the beginning of the 8th century and even earlier, Lindisfarne was sort of a fabulous, very rich, very powerful monastery. And one thing we might know it for is the Lindisfarne Gospels, this incredible, ornate Gospels, you know, with beautiful illustrations, illuminated letters, gold, lots of beautiful colours, which tells us something about how rich this monastery was. And that's important, because when the Norse, when the Vikings attack the monastery in 793 AD, this sends shockwaves throughout Europe. You know, people are writing letters to saying, you know, never before has such a terror appeared on these shores. You know, behold this horror coming out of the north, these pagan people. And so it is shocking. And it's not the only raid, though. So the year afterwards, they attack a bit further down the coast on another monastery. They attack all the way around the coast. They attack. So again, we're talking like the last decade of the 8th century. They attack off the coast of Ireland as well. And so it is something that is new, certainly in terms of how it's described in the annals, in the letters, in the textual sources of the time. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, which is written later, but looking back to that time, describes it as that this attack on Lindisfarne as being you start to see sheets of lightning in the sky and fiery dragons, and there's a terrible famine. And then suddenly the Norse attack. And so it's quite a convenient way of thinking about something that defines the start of this period, even though, of course, as I say in the book, everything comes from somewhere. It's not like a series of canal locks where we can say, OK, now we're in this period. It's more complicated than that, but it is an important date and it's an important time to focus on because something new is happening at that time.
The book is Embers of the Hands, Hidden Histories of the Viking Age. Eleanor Barraclough is the author. When we come back, within 70 years, those raiders will conquer England. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.